Mr. Rutledge has the worst cough. It's a hack when he coughs.
You're hearing from your office. Huh? You're hearing from your office.
Isaiah, we are still looking at this. Why have you made me thus? Shall the potter, shall the clay say to the potter, etc., etc. So we studied Isaiah 29 yesterday. Today we're going to look at Isaiah 45.
Isaiah 45.
Starting in verse 8. Let's go back to the beginning. Isaiah 45:1.
Verse 1.
Oh. Genesis 1:1.
Does anybody want to put that one? Remember who Cyrus was?
King of Syria?
John, why don't you give us an explanation of who Cyrus was?
I get extra points. Mm-hmm. I think he was a Persian.
That's right. And what else about him?
He may have been the one who created that they could go back to.
Right. He created everything that was allowed Israel to go back, the Jews to go back to Israel. He furnished the money for the temple and. But he's always contrasted with Pharaoh. And what we've been studying earlier was that God raised up Pharaoh to show his power in the Gentile world, which seems contradiction. But now God is raising up Cyrus.
Pharaoh was the Egyptian ruler.
I said that. Didn't I say that?
I'm just adding in things since you had called him.
Well, that's good.
For those who...
That's good. You remember that also Pharaoh just means the one who is the ruler. So it's like it's another name for the Antichrist, which is you. Actually, Pharaoh's middle name is Harry.
Pharaoh gets lost.
What?
Pharaoh gets lost.
And there's his brother, Pharaoh Buckner.
Pharaoh Buckner.
Thus saith the Lord, who is anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I uphold him, to subdue nations before him. And I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. Now, you got to understand, the same happened to Pharaoh, the same happened to Cyrus. And this is what one was for what anybody would say by your mind, ultimate good for Cyrus, and the other was ultimate evil for Pharaoh. So both of them, God is essentially saying, I've raised thee up for this purpose. And I want us to try to get rid of this neighborhood God. You know, we always put God in the box of our own understanding. But God is God of the universe. He controls every moment, every breath, everything that is going on. What?
I'm just enjoying that.
All right. For Jacob, wait a minute. I am the Lord, there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. It's another one of the most least studied scriptures by evangelical Christians. Drop down, you heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherds strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth, What makest thou? Or thy work? He hath no hands. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, What begottest thou? Or begettest thou? Or to the woman, What hast thou wrought for? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, Ask of me things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. In the Hebrew, it says, Ask of me the things concerning my son. And concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. It's a heavy-duty scripture. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city. He shall let go my captive, not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts.
Skip 12.
No, I have made the earth and created man upon it. I even my hands have stretched out the universe. All their posts have I commanded. All right. We can read the rest of it. I want to go to... Verse 18. Let's go up to verse 18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it, he created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, there is none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, Seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. You have no knowledge. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven images. Pray unto a God that cannot save. And again, every word in the Bible is those to those that have escaped the nations. Otherwise, you will do something else with it. Tell you, and bring them near. Let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God beside me. A just God and a Savior, there is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, The word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return. That unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, In the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified, and shall glory. Again, we have the question, who is the seed? But there is nothing that can go on in time and space that isn't authored by God. Because you've got to get rid of this idea, this localized thing about God, that well, he's in this, but he's not in that, and there's Satan over here, there's this over there, there's that over there. The only enemy of the mystery of God in time and space is your mind. It's enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can it be. So what do? You study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's a scripture that has nothing to do with... It's a scripture rightly that you show yourself approved by rightly dividing the word of truth because you cut up the sacrifice. And you're the living sacrifice. The word cuts it up down to the bone and to the marrow to see if there's any self-seeking left in you. So that if something is happening that you don't like, the reason it's happening to you that you don't like is because it's revealing something in you that you still have left and retained for self. I love that story about, and we should remember this one, about that in St. John of the Cross, or one of those Desert Father books, the woman from I think Cairo had trudged all across the desert, went up to one of these Desert Fathers. It took her days and days and maybe weeks to get there. She said, I want to be a part of this. He said, did you bring anything with you? He said, oh yes, this beautiful stone I found back there. Such and such a place. His only word to her was, go return it. Go put it back. There's nothing that you can bring with you into the kingdom. So God's constant injunction to you is go put that back. Go put that ideal back. Go put that stand back. Go put that opinion back. So that you can stand before Him empty and see and glory in that perfection of His holiness. So you can finally know the glorious liberty of the children of God. All this stuff about trying to learn it. You can't learn it.
Makes me think of that woman who looked back longingly.
Yeah.
Lot's wife.
Yeah, Lot's wife.
Same metaphor. Same time. Same subject. So please, shall a thing formed say to Him that formed you, why have you made me thus? And you say that every single time that you think the condition you're in should be different than it is. You think that the work or what you're doing should have a different result than it has.
It's the same thing where it says, do you think you're the Lord's counselor?
Yeah.
Some kind of deal like we're advising God on how the best way to set up things are. It's not a good idea.
Let's go to Colossians.
Wait a minute, I have a question, please.
Okay.
Search about.
Go ahead.
In verse 7, you know that's going to have to come up here. I make peace, I create evil. The evil that God creates, what's up with that? Is that the suffering that we have? Are those the tests?
Think of the worst evil that you can conceive of, and that's Satan. You have to go to it. You have to always push things to extremes in order to see. You can't leave anything over here in the edges so that you can play with it later. That's what it means to expand your tent pegs to the end. In this case, think of the worst evil in our belief system that there can be. The worst evil is the existence of Satan. Ha-Satan. He is the author of all the things that you hate.
Yeah, he's a created being.
Now, what is he doing? From our standpoint...
I see where you're going from now. I got you.
It's not me coming from it.
I see what you mean. I understand it. Yeah.
But this is why I predicated all this, is we can't, we got to get rid of our little localized God in a box.
The evil that was created was Satan, is what you're saying.
And, it's doing the exact will of God. Nothing can take place in the universe that, let's go to the closet.
Well, that's what he means when he says every knee is bowing and every tongue confessing. I mean, that he's saying he's serving my purpose. You name it, it's serving my purpose.
General Electric Power Company. Colossians, are you there?
Colossians.
Where are we going?
Colossians.
Didn't hear you.
You have one of those little boards behind you to flash up the megaphone scriptures before you said it.
How would I do that?
Big churches. We get Kevin to make
it. Let Kevin do
it. Yeah, but I don't know what I'm going to say until I say it.
Well, maybe you should know.
Kevin does it.
You come in early and put up the scriptures.
Colossians.
Yeah, good study.
Yeah, where are we going in Colossians?
Colossians chapter 1.
And every time you change your mind about something and it already has scripture, there would be a little line that would go through it and cross it out. And then we put up the next scripture. And then after a while, you see all the things that you said you were going to do and then you change your mind. It would be instructive.
Skippy, go to your room.
Nothing.
In verse 9, Paul's praying for the people. He said, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." And now everybody goes, in their mind says, well, there's a good work. We got to do good works. No, the good work is, what shall we do to do the work of God? Believe on him who he sent. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and it's translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Translated out of this kingdom of darkness. Actually, it says it's kingdom of twilight. We love the twilight. Now, this is just the preamble of what we're going to look at. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, or for his purpose. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. Do you ever notice how many times all is said there? For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him By him I say whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Now you're not an enemy in your mind because sometimes your mind does bad things. You're an enemy in your mind. We just studied in Romans 8. Your mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. It's enmity against God. And yet you use your mind to try to understand or apprehend the spiritual things. It cannot happen. There will always be a steel door that falls down until you come to the place of total and complete repentance where you're apprehended by him instead of you're trying to apprehend him. And all this psychobabble and drama crap that goes on in our minds is just pure dumb. Would you pardon me? I use dumb instead of...
And the belief that Pharaoh is evil and Cyrus is good is the strength of that beast.
Well, the strength of the beast is because we ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you really analyze how your mind works, you think you only ate of the tree of the knowledge of evil. And so you can think of good stuff. You can have good thoughts. You can't use your mind to understand spirit. It cannot happen. The best your mind can do is come into agreement about the vanity and futility of all things. But again, what we did earlier, you've got to expand your, you've got to have no room, you've got to leave yourself no wiggle room. What, Gary? You're playing
well,
in wiggle room.
I'm thinking that's, I mean, that you don't, there's no other way to get to the point but to use your mind to get to the point to realize your mind can't get you there. And that's how you find repentance.
Well, the scripture said it's by the preaching of the cross. It's the power of God. Not preaching about the cross, preaching of the cross. Something that modern religion has forgotten. Because we're going to go to Sunday school and we're going to learn this. And here's a book on how you can learn that. And when that doesn't work, there's another book that left out something, so here's what you can learn this. It's just a Babylonian garment that has no... There's nothing. There's nothing of value in it. Harry, I caught what you have.
I know. Sorry.
You came too close to
that. That's not true.
I want to hear Bob's question.
What?
I want to hear Bob's question.
Bob never asked.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's okay. I forgot.
So you made the remark on verse 7, Isaiah 45:7. That this is a verse that you don't hear much from evangelicals or something along those lines. What do you mean?
Have you ever heard it preached on?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, well, then.
But you obviously had a thought behind that.
Well, thought was I never heard it preached on.
God creates evil. They don't talk about that.
Okay.
Brings up
why, in your theory, do they not talk about that?
I don't have a theory. I just made a statement. That, there's two... I made it once a list somewhere. I've got it. With the least studied scriptures. One is, you travel over sea and land to make one convert, and he's made you make him twice the child of all that you are. This is another one.
The whole book of Leviticus is in
the whole
too.
Book of Leviticus.
I hear a whole lot of sermons on that.
And what I've heard is that God created all the good stuff, and Satan's the one that's created the suffering. That's what I hear from people.
You've got to listen to the evangelists.
I wouldn't serve a God who would do something like that.
Well, this is one of the things that, you know, we're talking about running this stuff in the door about the atheists and, you know, everything, and everybody being an atheist. And that's their big thing. You know, what kind of a crazy, you know, God do you serve that is responsible for all the suffering in the world? And you have to come to grips with that. You have to... Look at it and, you know, figure out that maybe, you know, the idea you had of God is not the same, you know, way that he is, and the idea of, you know, what is good and evil, you know, it's like you have to...
You gotta face it if you have any intellectual integrity. When I had the radio, over the years, I interviewed hundreds of people. And the consistent verbiage was, you know, that when you hear their preachments or hear them talk, oh, God loves you so much, he gave his son. And I would say, well, does he love you more than those 85,000 people in Africa that just died of starvation? And they would come up with some answer like, well, that's why we have to preach the gospel to them. Or, that's Satan that did that. And as soon as they say there's evil, then they have two gods. Because, and then there's two, the two reproduce faster than you can name the two. Because if there's two, then it becomes polytheism almost instantly. Because then you justify everything. Hear, O Lord, our God. The Lord our God is one. And we've got to come to grips with that. He is the posse con in Hebrew, means the opposer, the great opposer. And again, he is the opposer to see if there's anything in the universe that will take your mind's attention and take it off the mercy seat. We are seated with him now in the heavens. The heavenlies have already come down, so we're seated with him now in the New Jerusalem on the mercy seat. Satan is trying to get anything in the universe to pull us off that mercy seat.
Yeah, and he raised Pharaoh up.
And he raised Satan up.
Yeah, he raised him up to show his himself.
For his purposes. But his purposes are not what his... What he wants from us is obedience, but not like we go, God's telling me to go throw the football or something. No, he's not. God wants you to throw the football. What he wants from you is to throw the football without him telling you to. And the reason is the only way you can do that is by suffering. Because suffering creates that intimacy. So that you don't lose your first love. Your love is always that presence that never leaves you. And when you leave that presence, you should know it as much as that fish that just came out of water. But if you haven't known the presence and you've danced around it trying to apprehend it with your mind, then you don't know the presence. You can't. You can only have a philosophy, and you can say great philosophical crap, but it's meaningless in the kingdom of God. Great little discussions. Just boring. Oh, no, they're not boring, they're exciting.
No.
You're having a discussion about that in your mind.
Who are you talking to?
My mom used to talk about the difference between eating and reading about eating.
Yeah.
Reading the menu and I know what all it tastes like now, so I don't have to eat it.
Yeah. That's why I hate movies. For the most part.
I like to read about everything.
I like to eat while I'm watching movies.
I like to listen to people talk about how much they hate movies. Not watching movies.
Well, they're just boring. I mean, except the ones that have mindless action.
Oh, yeah. Great.
This whole discussion about movies is boring.
Good. Me too. All right. All righty. Anybody have anything else? Did it answer your question, Bob?
No.
Good. Take a big guy.